أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Lesson number 52 Surah Ali Imran We'll begin from Ayah 176
وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ
And do not be grieved, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by those who hasten into disbelief.
إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا Indeed, they will never harm Allah at all.
يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ
Allah intends that He should give them no share in the hereafter, and for them is a great punishment.
We learned that in the previous ayat, the believers were told that do not fear the awliya of shaitan. And instead, who should you fear? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَخَافُونِ Because we see that sometimes, fear, what does it lead a person to? Being a coward. And it doesn't let a person do something that he must do. Fear stops a person sometimes. Yes, it is a driving force, but at the same time, it also stops a person from doing something that he must do. And on the other hand, grief, huzn, that also destroys a person's confidence. So what is it that destroys a person's confidence? First of all, fear, and secondly, grief. These two emotions, they can literally cripple a person. They can completely make him incapable of doing anything, of accomplishing anything. So first of all, the believers are told, لا تخافوهم, don't fear your enemy. And now they're being told that do not be sad, do not grieve over what they're doing. Do not be sad. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to pray, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzni. That I seek your refuge from ham, idh hammat, from overly getting worried, and from huzn, grief and sorrow. So, wala yahzunka, it should not grieve you. Yahzunka, from the root letters ha, zai, noon, and huzn, as you know, is to be sad, to grieve over something, to be sad about something. So it should not grieve you. He should not grieve you. Ka over here is singular, and yes, it does refer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first of all, but after him, other believers as well. That it should not grieve you. He should not grieve you. Who?
Alladhina, those people who yusari'una fil kufr. Those who hasten into disbelief.
Yusari'una is from the root letter sin ra'ain, from the word sur'a, which is to be fast, to be quick, to be speedy. And yusari'una means they hasten into, they rush into, they actively participate in.
What?
Fil kufr, in the disbelief. What does it mean by this? Yusari'una fil kufr. Meaning they succumb to it promptly, they support it, they do not hesitate doing any kufr. They are verily actively involved in doing kufr. So their musara'a in kufr, they're rushing into acts of disbelief, into statements of disbelief. They're rushing into it, meaning they're being very zealous about it and they're being very active in the actions of kufr. Their activities of kufr should not grieve you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his mission? He was a bashir and a nadir. He was a hadi. He was sent to guide people, right? To lead people to guidance, to tell them about the straight path. Now imagine, he is telling people that they should believe, and what are people doing? Rushing into disbelief. Rushing into disbelief. Not hesitating doing anything that comes under kufr. Obviously, this would upset the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It would make him sad. So over here, he is being told that لا يحزنك الذين يسارعون في الكفر, those people who hasten into kufr, their hastening into kufr should not grieve you. What is meant is that their deeds, their actions, their activities should not grieve you. Because they will not be successful. They will not be successful. Rather, you will be helped against them.
إِنَّهُمْ Indeed they. لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا
They can never harm Allah at all. They can never harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala شَيْئًا Anything at all.
يَضُرُّ is from the root letters ضَرَرَ
from the word ضَرَر. And what does ضَرَر mean?
Harm. And ضَرَّ يَضُرُّ is to harm someone, to cause damage to someone, to injure someone. So over here, لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. By their kufr, they're not going to harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. By their kufr, they're not causing any loss to Allah. How? Because when people worship Allah, Allah does not benefit from their worship. And when people disbelieve in Him, when people disobey Him, Allah does not suffer any harm because of their kufr. So they cannot harm Allah at all by their activity in kufr. Also because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above their reach. Even if they do try to harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through their kufr, through their wrong actions, are they really going to be able to harm Allah? No, they cannot. Like Fir'aun, he said to Haman that build a sarh for me, a castle for me, a very tall tower for me, so that I can go up and see the God of Musa. So if somebody tries, if somebody attempts to go and harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be unsuccessful. So لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا, they can never harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. They can never harm the deen of Allah. They cannot cause any loss to His being, to His attributes, or to His kingdom at all. And secondly, لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا has been understood as that they cannot harm, they cannot cause any loss to the awliya of Allah, to the friends of Allah, to those people who are on the deen of Allah. Because why are these people active in their kufr? To harm who? To harm the Muslims. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to harm the Muslims. So just imagine the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The Munafiqun, the Bani Israel, at the same time the Mushrikeen of Makkah. What were they all trying to do? Harm the Muslims. What does Allah say? لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا, meaning لَنْ يَضُرُّ أَوْلِيَا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. They cannot harm the friends of Allah at all. Why? Because the maximum that they can do is that they can kill them. But then what does Allah say to us? They don't even think that they are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. So لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And notice the word شَيْئًا has been used. And شَيْئًا ends with a تَنْوِين. What does that make this noun? نَكِرَة. And نَكِرَة in the context of negation, in the context of نَفِي, like over here, لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. What does لَنْ mean? Never. So when نَكِرَة comes in the context of negation, it gives a meaning of generality. عموم. So what it means is that they cannot harm Allah anything at all. Neither a lot nor a little. In any way whatsoever. In His sifat, in His that, in His actions, in His mulk, any way at all. They cannot harm Him. As you know about the Hadith Qudsi, that, O son of Adam, that if the first of you and the last of you, the human of you, the jinn of you, all of you became like the most evil amongst you, then you will not reduce the mulk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. So, لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا, anything at all, in any way whatsoever. Then how come these people are able to harm the Muslims? Like for instance, the Mushrikeen, they came and they killed 70 Muslims. And inshallah, I will mention to you some more incidents in which the Muslims suffered a lot of loss because of the activities of the disbelievers in their kufr. Why are they allowed? What does Allah say? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ, Allah wants. The only reason why He lets them hasten in their kufr is because He wants أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ, that He does not wish to make for them حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ, any share in the akhirah. The word حَظ is from the root letters حَ, ظَ, ظَ, and حَظ is used for a share or portion of something, and generally it is used for a portion of wealth. It is used for a portion or share of wealth or something good. Like for instance in the ayat of inheritance, as you will read inshallah very soon, in Surah An-Nisa, that لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْسَيَيْنِ, that the share of the male is equal to the share of two females. So حَظ. Why is the word حَظ used and not نَصِيب? Because حَظ is a share of wealth. It is a share of good. So over here when Allah says that He does not wish to make for them any حَظ in the akhirah, what does this حَظ refer to? Any share of reward. And notice again, حَظًا is نَكِرَة. What does it mean? That neither a little nor a lot. They will not have any share in the akhirah, neither a little nor a lot. وَلَهُمْ And for them, عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ A great punishment. And حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ Any share in the hereafter, meaning any share of reward, any share in Jannah, any share in paradise at all. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ And for them is a great punishment. عَظِيمٌ is from the root letters عَيْنْ لَامِيمٌ And عَظَمَ, as you know, means greatness, magnitude of something, the enormity of something. And when something is azim, depending on what it is either praiseworthy, it is either a praiseworthy characteristic or a blameworthy characteristic. For example, in the Quran we learn in Surah An-Nur, Ayah 16, that Subhanaka hadha buhtanun azim. Buhtanun azim. Buhtan is what? A slander. Azim, great. What does it mean? Is it a blameworthy quality or a praiseworthy quality? Azim. It's blameworthy. It's something negative. Similarly, when azim is used for instance, in Surah An-Naml, Ayah 23, when the Hudhud came back to Sulaiman alayhi salam, and the Hudhud told him about the arsh of the Malika, of the queen. What did he say? وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ And she has a huge, a great throne. So over there, azim is not something negative, but rather it is something praiseworthy. Over here, عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ When punishment is described as azim, it gives a meaning of praiseworthy in the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if He has prepared a great punishment, what does it show? What does it show? His ability, His greatness. And on the other hand, in the case of the people who will suffer from this punishment, for them this is blameworthy, for them this is negative, for them this is harmful. So وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ For them is a great punishment, because if you look at it, any other characteristic could also have been used for عذاب. We have read عذاب الحريق, the punishment of burning, عذاب جهنم, the punishment of hellfire, عذاب أليم, punishment that is painful. Why عظيم has been mentioned over here? Because these people, their activities are great, and they try to harm the Muslims, they try to harm the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does Allah say? They can never ever cause any harm. And at the end, what is prepared for them is a great punishment, which they cannot escape. Today, they have freedom, but tomorrow, they have a great punishment, from which they will not be able to escape. So we see over here that the Prophet ﷺ is being comforted, that these people who are very active in their kufr, their activities should not grieve you. We learned that at the Battle of Uhud, what happened? The mushrikeen, they fought against the Muslims, and they killed many Muslims, right? And they didn't just kill them, they also mutilated the bodies. They also mutilated the dead. Those Muslims who had passed away, they mutilated them. For example, Hamza radiallahu anhu, all of you know about how he was mutilated. Similarly, we see that on the one hand, they were mushrikeen. On the other hand, they were hypocrites. What had the munafiqun done? That they came with the Muslims. Halfway through, what did they do? They left the Muslims and they went back. And when the Muslims returned to Medina after the defeat at Uhud, what did the munafiqun do? They started saying statements that, you know, it was better if you had not gone. These people, had they not gone, they would not have been killed. So they started saying such statements that were a cause of hurt for the Muslims, a cause of regret for the Muslims. So on the one hand, they were mushrikeen. On the other hand, they were hypocrites. And soon after the Battle of Uhud, the incident of Bi'r Ma'una took place. What is that incident? We learned that certain tribes of the Arabs, they came to Medina, and they spoke to the Prophet ﷺ, and they showed their interest in accepting Islam, in becoming Muslim. And they wished that some of the companions should be sent with them so that they would teach them. And the Prophet ﷺ sent 70 companions with them. 70. Amongst whom, most of them were huffaz. They had memorized the Qur'an. They were knowledgeable companions. And what happened? These people, they took the 70 companions with them, and they killed all of them. They killed all of them. And right before that, another 6 companions, they were also sent with the tribes of Adl and Qara to teach them about Islam. But they turned against them. They turned against those 6 companions. They killed 4 of them. And they sold 2 of the companions to the mushrikeen, to the people of Mecca. They sold them. Why? So that the mushrikeen could persecute them. The mushrikeen could torture them. And eventually kill them. And these 2 were Khubayb and Zayd.
So this is what was happening. And very soon after, the Jewish tribe of Banu Nadir, what happened with them? That the people of Medina, they had to together pay blood money, because one of the Muslims had by mistake killed two people. We learned that from the 70 companions who were killed at Bir Ma'una, amongst them one of them managed to escape, and he killed two people by mistake. So obviously the Muslims had to pay blood money for that. Now, it wasn't just the Muslims, it was the people of Medina. Because remember, the people of Medina, all of them, the Mushrikeen, the Muslims and the Jews, they had made a treaty that if there is any harm, all of us will share it. So similarly, the Jews, they also had to contribute in the blood money. The Prophet ﷺ went to them and asked them that they should also contribute in the blood money. But what did they do? They said, okay, O Prophet, you sit here and we'll just come back. And so they had him sit down and they went up on top of the building and they intended to throw a huge boulder on him in order to kill him. And as a result of that, the Banu Nadir were killed. So we see at the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims didn't just suffer a defeat. All of the people, the Mushrikeen of Mecca, the various tribes of Arabia, the Jews inside of Medina, and the people who pretended to be Muslims, the hypocrites, all of them were coming after the Muslims to harm them. All of them were hastening into kufr, yusari'una fil kufr. Now obviously, this would hurt the Prophet ﷺ. This would make him very worried and concerned that what's going to happen? Everybody is turning against us. This was very painful for the Prophet ﷺ. And he was worried about the safety of the companions and the success of Islam. And at the same time, he also wanted guidance for them because he was their well-wisher. He hadn't just come to establish his country, his mission, but it was to spread the message to the people, to make them accept Islam so that they are saved from the hellfire in the hereafter. So all of these things, they would really upset the Prophet ﷺ. So he is being comforted that don't worry, don't be sad, they cannot harm the deen of Allah. They cannot harm the religion of Allah. They cannot harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. The maximum they can do is they can kill 70 of your people, then they can kill another 70 of your people, then they can kill another 6 of your people. Okay, what else can they do? Can they stop the deen of Allah? No, they cannot. They cannot extinguish the light of Islam. Then why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow them to harm the Muslims? That's the question. Because you wonder sometimes that the Muslims suffer so much harm, suffer so much opposition, everybody is turning against them. And it wasn't just at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was before that and it was also after that. So why does Allah allow الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ to continue in their musara'a? Why? Because Allah does not want these people to have any share in the akhirah. They have their freedom in the dunya, but that's it. In the hereafter, they will have no reward whatsoever. And at the same time, this also becomes a test for the Muslims, that if these people are putting so much effort in trying to extinguish the light of Islam, what are you doing to protect the light of Islam? What are you doing? If these people are so active, what are you doing? Do you care about your deen? Are you trying to tell other people about it? Are you trying to preserve it? Are you trying to spread it? Or are you heedless? Do you not care? So at the same time, this is also a big test for the Muslims. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Indeed, those people who purchase disbelief in exchange for iman, in exchange for faith, لَنْ يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Never will they harm Allah at all. And for them is a painful punishment. For who? الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ. اشْتَرَوُوا, from the root letter شِين رَايَة, and شِرَا, as you know, is to buy and sell. And over here, اشْتَرَوُوا gives a sense of purchasing, buying, not selling, but purchasing. Because they are purchasing الكفر, disbelief, at the cost of what? بِالْإِيمَانِ, at the cost of iman. And obviously, it doesn't mean that they go to a marketplace, they give iman and they take kufr. No, this is figurative speech. And when you buy and sell, when you take something in exchange for another, what does it show? That what you're taking is more precious to you. It is more valuable to you. You like it more compared to what you're giving in exchange for it.
So those people who take kufr, and in order to take kufr, what do? They leave iman. They adopt kufr at the cost of iman. Who does this refer to? Yes, it does refer to the hypocrites. Because some have said that it refers to the hypocrites only. Which hypocrites? Those who left the Muslims, the 300 of them, and they came back to Medina, didn't participate at Uhud. Because they were believers, they had iman, but what did they do? They preferred kufr at that time, and from then on, what did they do? They adopted kufr and they left iman. So it refers to the hypocrites. It also refers to the apostates, meaning those people who apostate, who were Muslim, they leave Islam, and they become disbelievers. But not just them, not just the hypocrites and the apostates, but rather it also refers to every single disbeliever. Why? Because every disbeliever was born on what? On fitrah, on iman. So they had iman. They gave up that iman and they took kufr. They were content with kufr. So they adopted kufr in exchange for iman. Such people, لَا يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا, they can never harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. In any way whatsoever. In any way, a little or a lot. They cannot harm Allah. Rather, who are they harming? Themselves. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, and for them is a painful punishment. Alim is from the root letters, Hamza Lam Mim, Alam, pain. So this ayah explains the previous ayah. The previous ayah, what did we learn? الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ, those people who are hastening into kufr. And when they are hastening into disbelief, when they're rushing towards kufr, what are they doing? They're leaving iman. They're taking kufr at the cost of iman. So such people, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they cannot harm Allah at all, and for them is a painful punishment. In the previous ayah, it was mentioned, for them is a great punishment. عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Now, عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, and also عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Recitation.
وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ الَّذِينَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ لَهُمْ حَظًّا فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُا الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ لَنْ يَضُرُّوا اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
So sometimes you know you're doing the right thing. You're very confident about it. But what happens? Other people start opposing you. They start opposing you. And it's not just one person, but everyone turns against you. And some people who were doing what you're doing, they also leave it. For instance, you start studying the Quran and your friend, what does she do halfway through? This is too difficult. I'm giving up. I'm leaving. Does that discourage you? Does that discourage you? Yes. Similarly, when people oppose you, does that make you sad? It does. What does Allah say? La yahzunka. Don't be sad. Don't get worried. Don't be anxious. Don't grieve over these people's activities, over their opposition, over their coming and attacking you and trying to stop you. Why? Because they will never be able to harm the deen of Allah. They will never be able to harm the deen of Allah. So you should be content that what you're doing is correct because it's of the deen of Allah.